So good to see you guys here this morning on this beautiful day. The sun is out there shining. It is. Amen. It is still yet shining. God is holding the rain for a few more days. I've got some work to do outside. He knows. Thank you, Lord. If you got your Bibles with you this morning, I want you to turn to the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 23. Today we begin a brand new series called Imperfectly Perfect. And before I go there, I want to dismiss Tidal Wave. You may be dismissed, and I think Miss Linda's already gone up there right now. How many of you saw the sign hanging on the door frame of the sanctuary as you walk in this morning? You saw that. You read it. I'm not perfect. How many of you did not even notice? Some of you did not. You're not perfect. you're in the right place this morning. You're in the right place. This word, the perfect, is a buzzword these days. We use perfect all the times. We use perfect when we text. We use perfect in our conversations. You come home after a meeting. How was the meeting? Perfect. How was lunch? Perfect. How was your vacation? Perfect. Well, I hate to bring it to your attention this morning, but nothing is ever perfect. Nothing is ever perfect simply because we live in a world that is not perfect. Simply because of the nature of who we are as man and the world that we live in, that are both not perfect. Let me ask you another question. Is that a reflection of you? Is that a reflection of yourself? Do you think of yourself as entirely without fault or defect? Because according to Webster's dictionary, the word perfect means without fault or defect. Is that the way that you see yourself? Don't look at your spouse. Maybe that's you. Maybe you do. You would be called a perfectionist. By definition, it would be someone who refuses to accept any standard other than perfection. The Bible has a Greek word for that. A little hard to pronounce, so I've got it up there for you. Crazy. Crazy. Because no one can ever be perfect. So over the course, I'm laying down the foundation now for the series, Imperfectly Perfect. So over the course of the next few weeks, we will embark on a journey. An imperfectly perfect journey called life. And along this journey, we will discover that, number one, we are not perfect. But we are being perfected by Jesus. That perfect sacrifice that we, by taking communion this morning, that we acknowledge. That he is the perfect example of perfection. That one sacrifice that he made on the cross for you and for me has now qualified us into that realm of perfection. Now, over the course of the next few weeks, we're going to be digging into this. So this is just the introduction, just to whet your appetite a little bit. And I've got 3 points for you this morning. Only 3 points. I know if you were here last week, John had how many? 7. 14. Well, I'm not as smart as John. So I only came up with 3 points this Sunday. So here goes nothing. Point number one, I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. I don't think I need to convince you on that one. I'm not perfect. And this morning when I was trying to, we close the door when we do worship practice. So that paper where it says the word perfect on it. I don't know if you can turn in the back there. You can actually see it. There's a little corner that is missing. That shows a little bit of my imperfection because that paper got caught in the door jam. And I was yanking on this thing. And I knew I'm going to yank on it and it's going to rip. But I'm like, I'm not perfect and I can't do it. So I yanked on it and corner missing. Me and my boys, we were working the whole week on a fence, to putting up a fence in my front yard. And if you take a look at it today, you would quickly come to the conclusion that I'm not perfect. In fact, Jeremiah is going to come and help me a little bit to straighten that fence. He's got the right tool to bring it in. Just 4 inches. You know, when nobody notices this thing. Everybody draws out, wow, what a beautiful fence. But then I draw people's attention to these 4 inches that are leaning towards the road. Now everybody notices it. So Jeremiah, I need your help to bring this post just 4 inches backwards. Because I notice it every single time and it drives me nuts. I'm not perfect. Today I'm not just talking about me. I'm also talking about you. And I want to remind you that you are not perfect either. In Romans 3:23, our opening scripture says this: for everyone has sinned, and we all fall short of God's glorious standard. First of all, everyone is everyone, right? You and me. That's everyone. None of us are perfect. The root word here for sin that comes from the Greek as a sporting context. Whenever you read the word such as sin, it's either a sporting context or a military context. Here, it's referring to sin as a sporting context. And the sport is archery. To put that scripture in context, it simply means everyone has missed the bullseye. everyone has missed the bullseye. While you might be on target, you're hitting the target, but you don't always hit the bullseye every single time. Every single day, every single hour, every single minute, every single second. No one can. No one can aim on something and hit the bullseye every single time. You'll be just happy by just hitting the target. But here, in context of what it's saying, it's referring to sin as missing the mark, as missing the bullseye. So this scripture is referring to everyone that has sin, because everyone has missed the bullseye at least once. It says we all have sinned. We all have missed the bullseye. This scripture is pointing to the fact that you and me, we are not perfect. In fact, perfectionism is an unreachable goal. It is impossible for us humans to be absolutely perfect. But the sad thing is, we are always trying. We are always trying to be perfect. All it does is more stress, more anxiety. It wears you out trying to be perfect. It'll wear somebody out. It will drive you nuts trying to be perfect. No matter how good you are as a spouse, you will never be perfect. No matter how good you think you are as a father, as a parent, you will never be perfect. You will never be a perfect person. I will never be a perfect pastor. I cannot preach a perfect sermon. And I've preached hundreds of sermons, but I have never reached, or I would never reach, perfection, because it's always a work in progress. There was a time in my life where I did struggle with that, always trying to make everything perfect. I'm a work in progress. I'm a recovering perfectionist. Recovering. I'm not in denial. I'm recovering. I don't know if you know this. This was right here. And I'm putting it here again. Throughout the whole of worship, this thing drives me nuts. I just want to point it out so that you know. I was struggling with this. Because in my mind, I was like, why is this thing here? We have no use for this. No one intentionally put it there. It just was here. Jesus. I knew it was him. But he was a little bit busy over here, so didn't want to distract him. But this the whole time, I was like, Lord Jesus, why is this thing here? anyway, right before I came up, I was like, yeah, I'm going to have to take it out because it's going to drive me nuts. But yeah, I'm a recovering perfectionist. Stuff like that, they bother me and they drive me crazy. But I'm putting it back here because I'm recovering from it. I'm going to say in Jesus' name, this thing is not going to bother me at all. I'm going to be able to deliver a message this morning and it's not going to bother me. See, this is the thing. Once you draw attention to something that is not right, guess what? Everybody sees it. Those 4 inches in my front yard fence did not bother anybody at all until I pointed it out. So apparently I'm not the only one. That's great. Makes me feel really good. A perfectionist, let me tell you how to identify a perfectionist. Okay, because sometimes we can easily go under the radar. Like no one knew that this bothered me until I told you about it, because I'm honest. Well, let me tell you how you can identify a perfectionist. Now, some of you will like this illustration. You would love it. But some of you, not so much. So a perfectionist will always feel the need to say this. I'm not a perfectionist. Have you encountered anybody that would actually say this? I am not a perfectionist, but... Oh, if we get a little, I'm saying we because I'm putting me in there. If we get a little bit kind of frustrated, we might say this. I know perfectly well that I am not a perfectionist. And here are some traits of a perfectionist. A perfectionist will have or will tend to have an all or nothing attitude. All or nothing. They accept nothing less than perfection. They are highly critical of themselves and others. Ouch. Ouch. This set unrealistic goals. They solely focus on results and they are depressed by unmet goals. I notice some of you are sinking down in your seats, trying to hide. And for those who are watching online, I might not be able to see you, but I want you to know that God sees you. Now, before I get myself in trouble, let me go back to our scripture. It says, for everyone has sinned, and we all fall short of God's glorious standard. The main point of this scripture is saying, no one is perfect, but that God's standard is perfect. No one is perfect, but God's standard is perfect. So how do we reconcile the two? Because it seems that God will not accept anything but perfection. If I'm not perfect, how can God accept me? I don't know if you've ever considered this, but our Christian faith is a journey. Sometimes a rough and stormy one, but nonetheless a journey that starts with Jesus. That's the journey that you and I, we are embarked on. We are embarked on a journey as a Christian man and a Christian woman, that we are embarked on this journey when we've accepted Jesus. It might have been a rough start, a stormy start, but yet again, we started with him. This journey is oftentimes referred to as the Roman road. Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, and Romans 10:9. In fact, if you take that road of Romans 3:23, 6:23, 10:9, you might lead somebody to Jesus. It's the same road that you embarked on when you accepted Jesus. It's that same road that you take when you want to lead somebody to Jesus. The number one you need to say to that person that you're trying to lead to Christ is that you are not perfect. And you will never be perfect. God's standard is perfect. And God accepts nothing but perfection. So how are you going to get there? So this is what we need to reconcile, is our imperfection with God's perfect standard. How can we be good enough? How can we reach that level of perfection in Christ? How do we get there? This road starts with us acknowledging that we are not perfect. And then he takes us to Romans 6:23 that says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." What this scripture is saying is that the penalty for missing the bullseye is death. Isn't that harsh when you think about it? This is exactly what the scripture is saying. The penalty for missing the bullseye is death. And you might say, what? Death for just missing the bullseye? I'm hitting the target. Yes, because God's standard is perfect, and he accepts nothing less than perfection. But hang in there. This verse gets better, I promise. Since God knew that you and I are not perfect and that we can't hit that bullseye every single time, every single day, every single hour, every single minute, and every single second, he knew that. And since he knew that, he provided a perfect marksman. Is that how you say it? A marksman? Or an archer? He provided the perfect one that will never, ever miss the bullseye. He said, you will not be able to do it in your own strength, but I'm going to send my son, the perfect marksman, that can come in and take your place. And he will take the shot for you, so that you don't have to. Jesus is so perfect that he's never missed a single time. He's hit that bullseye every single time. The Roman road does not just leave us hanging. It doesn't just introduce us to Jesus, but he sends us an open invitation to allow Jesus himself to be in charge of this journey called life, where he is in charge of everything that happens, where he takes the wheel, where he commands your life from a commanding position, from the throne of your heart. He commands everything that you do. His command center is built inside of you. He calls the shots. He wakes you up in the morning. He reminds you of things that he's talked to you, promises that he's made to you years past. He brings it back to your remembrance. He calls out the promises that he's spoken over your life. He reminds you the word of God. He reminds you of what the Holy Spirit has done in your life. He reminds you of everything. He takes charge of your life. In Romans 10:9. It says this: if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. The last part of this journey is the most critical. It takes us from admitting that we are not perfect to openly declaring that Jesus is the perfect one. You and I, we are not perfect, but he is all the perfection that we will ever need. He is all the perfection that you and I will ever need. And that takes me to point number two. Jesus is perfect. I don't know if you remember this in the book of John. There are three times that Pilate questioned, interrogated Jesus. And in all three accounts, he came out and addressed the crowd. And he said, I find no fault in this man. Even as he was tried, by human hands in a human court, even then he was found not guilty. Not guilty. But then we read this in Hebrews 4:15. He says, for we do not have a high priest, and that's Jesus, who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, our imperfections, but in all points tempted as we are, and yet without sin. Perfect. In other words, Jesus understands our imperfections. He understands and he does not judge. He could have judged right there and then and declare us guilty. But when he sees our imperfections, he doesn't bring that judgment or that condemnation. He just simply knows that you and I, we are not perfect. But he gives us the reassurance that he is the perfect example of perfection, because he's never missed the bullseye. He never missed the bullseye. All the way to the cross, he endured the cross. He went through the pain and suffering as he did, for you and for me. He never bailed out of his responsibility of being that one sacrifice that we read earlier on. He was that one sacrifice that perfected you and me. So that today, when we took communion, we're not taking communion as somebody who's just a wretched sinner. We're taking communion as one who's been made a provision with the bread, the body of Christ, and the blood, the saving grace of God, where we can partake of this, knowing that we are not perfect, but He made a way for us to reach that level of perfection that we need to meet God's standard. Because in our own strength, you and I will never be able to reach that. If it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, if it wasn't for the sacrifice that He made for you and for me on the cross, we will never be able to even say this. But He made a way. He made a way because He is the perfect example of perfection. He's never missed the bullseye. On this journey, God accepts us just the way we are. With all our imperfections, with all our flaws, but He does not leave us in that same state. He does not leave us in that same state. Along this journey, He changes us. He shapes us. He molds us. In other words, on this journey, He's perfecting us. He's changing us to be more and more like Him. He's molding, He's shaping, He's bringing in a fiery furnace. Just like you would purify gold. You would apply a whole lot of heat to it. So much heat that the pieces of gold will melt. And as they melt, the impurities will rise to the top. Then He comes along and He sees the impurities and He doesn't provide judgment. He doesn't provide condemnation, although he could, but He doesn't. He sees the imperfections rise to the top, and He comes in with a little ladle, and He skims that top, and He removes that imperfection. Then He pushes the fire back in again. And He lights the whole thing up. Everything is melted again. And again. And again. He comes back and He repeats that same process. And He removes that layer of imperfection from the top. And discards it. He repeats that process over and over again. Until He sees His own reflection. That is the process that you and I, we go through. In this journey called life. Life with Him. It's a wonderful journey. It's an adventure. Where you can laugh about those little things that we laugh about. These little things that get in the way, we can laugh about it to the point where we can say, Lord, you know me more than myself. You know how much this bothers me. But he looks at these situations that we go through in life where we are so critical of ourselves, and he laughs. We give him plenty of material to write jokes about us. You see what he's doing? Oh my gosh. You see how he's bothered by this mic stand right there? Oh my goodness. And he's laughing. He's looking at me, at my fence, and I'm struggling to reconcile that 4-inch. And he's laughing, and he's like, he's forgetting the whole thing. He's forgetting the whole picture. And he's focused, so focused on that 4-inch. But he does not bring judgment or condemnation. He brings in people to help you. Jeremiah showed up and helped me. So he brings in people that you're surrounded by, that will uphold you. Amen. That will lift you up, that will come along and say, amen, don't worry about this. We got this. And then when you stop and you start thinking about the whole situation, like, it was not a big deal to start with. Why was I so worried about this? Why was I so much on the edge and driving everybody nuts around me? People knew that. I talked to Dawn. She'll know I drive people nuts. I seriously drive people nuts. Because in my mind, there's a certain level of things that we need to have. And if we are not there, I am bothered. And I want to let people know about it. Is that one of you guys here? Don't lie. I know I'm not the only one. I know that. We drive people nuts. It's not right. It's not right. I need Jesus. Can somebody come and pray for me afterwards? He molds us. He shapes us. He removes every little thing, every little details that really does not reflect him. He removes that and he makes us pure. He changes us. He perfects us. Point number 3 is, I am being perfected. I don't know if you remember this, but right before Jesus was arrested, right before he was tried and crucified later on, he prayed for us. He prayed for us. Can you imagine? Jesus stopped, knowing what he had to face, and he said a powerful prayer for you and for me. You would think that he would be praying for himself, but he stopped. Knowing what he had to endure, he stopped and he prayed for you. And he prayed for me. And this prayer is recorded in the book of John. And we're going to get through that in a little bit. It's a very powerful prayer. He prayed that you and me would be perfect. Jesus prayed that we would be perfect. In fact, if you read the Sermon on the Mount, which I don't have it there, not even in my notes, but Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, verse 48, talks about Jesus saying this: Father, make them perfect, just like you are perfect. Wow. Father, make them perfect, just like you are perfect.
wait a minute. Jesus wants us to be perfect. Just like the Father is perfect. How? How?
You might hear this and say, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Pastor. You tricked us. I mean, you really tricked us. You told us that no one is perfect. No one was and no one ever will be. You tricked us. Well, yes, I did. Just a little bit. Pastors do that sometimes. Tend to trick people. But I did it to make a point. The point is, in your own strength, you can never be perfect. By yourself, without God, you can never be perfect. But before I give you the biblical definition of the word perfect, you've heard Merriam-Webster's definition. Without fault and without any defect, I'm going to give you in a little bit the definition from the word, what that word really means. Let's look at the prayer itself. John chapter 17, verse 20. It says, this is Jesus speaking, and he's praying this to the Father. He's saying, I do not pray for these alone, referring to the disciples, but also for those, that's you and me, our time that we are in right now, for those who will believe in me through their word. That's Romans 10:9. Those who would actually acknowledge me with their words. Those who would publicly declare that I am their Lord and Savior with their word. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they may also be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. The glory that you gave me, I have given them. That they may be one as we are one. The glory is the glory of the Holy Spirit. The glory that you've given me, I have given them. So that they might be one. Then in verse 23, it says, I in them. And you in me, that they may be made, what? Perfect. Perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me, that you have loved them as you have loved me. Jesus prayed that prayer for you and for me, that you and I will be made perfect. Now let me give you the biblical definition of that word, perfect. It comes from the Greek. The Greek word is teleos, which means complete. Complete. Complete, lacking nothing. Quite a little bit different from Webster's, right? Complete, lacking nothing. And here's what Jesus is saying here in verse 23. When I am in them, and you, Father, are in me, and only then will they be perfect. Only when Jesus is in us. can we ever be perfect and that's complete, lacking nothing. In other words, we can say this: Jesus, you complete me. Jesus, you complete me. You make me perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. I mean, just for the record here this morning, I want to say this. Tom Cruise did not come up with that quote in Jerry Maguire when he looked at Renee Zellweger and said, "You complete me." He stole that from Jesus. I want everybody to know that Tom Cruise stole that line from Jesus. Friends, today you can remember that Jesus prayed that prayer for you. He completes you because he is in you, just as the Father is in him. He is in you just as the Father is in him. Now that's perfection. Would you stand to your feet? It is only by the grace of God that you and me, we are made perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Complete. Complete in everything. Lacking in nothing. It's only by the grace of God that we can stand here and declare that we are whole, that we are complete, because Jesus in us has completed us. By faith, we can receive healing when we need it. We can be made whole again and receive the healing power of Christ, because we acknowledge that perfection, Christ himself, is in us. He completes us. Now that's not arrogance, but that's boldness of faith. So bold that when you've received it, you cannot be quiet about it. If you are healed from an incurable disease, miraculously healed by God, could you keep this quiet? Could you keep this quiet? If you had a missing limb and miraculously the limb grew and you were made whole, could you be quiet about it? I don't think so. Boldness of faith, as Apostle Paul said it, is believing and speaking. Apostle Paul said, "I believe, therefore I spoke." Faith is something that cannot be silent. It's a powerful thing. It must be vocal. You must speak it. In fact, when you speak it, you release its power to go
can do what he's meant to do. The word of God says that I'm watching over my words. This is God speaking. I am watching over my words in order to perform it. So God is waiting on us to release his word, his promises. Whatever you believe in God for today, he wants you to speak it. He wants you to believe it. Some of you have come this morning needing direction, needing wisdom, needing a healing touch from God. I pray that you will not leave this place without hearing from him, without receiving a touch from him, and without releasing that word that is spoken over you. And I believe that today would be a day that will set forth in the next few days, in the next few weeks, as we dive into this series. We're going to start hearing people coming out of a spiritual darkness and into his marvelous light, where the eyes of your understanding would suddenly open up and you will start seeing God for who he is. On your way out this morning, as you leave, you're going to see a new sign on the door as you leave the sanctuary. And this sign reads, I'm being perfected. I'm being perfected. When you came in this morning, it read something totally different. I'm not perfect. But I want you to leave this place remembering that you are being perfected. I'm going to give you a little homework. I love to teach the word. So there is no teaching without homework. So I'll give you something that I want you to hold on to. It's in Hebrews 12, verse 2. It says, fixing our eyes on who? Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. So the word here is, don't fix your eyes on anything else, but who? Jesus. Some of you might need to switch off for a little bit social media. Some of you might need to change the channel a little bit. Change the frequency a little bit and fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer. In other version it says the author. In the NIV, I love that it says that same word that we've been talking about, perfect, the perfecter of our faith. So if we're looking for perfection, let's look to Jesus. Don't look at me. I've showed you how imperfect I am. Don't look at me. Don't look at anybody else. But look unto Jesus. Fix your eyes on him. He's the author, the pioneer, and the perfecter of faith. Father, we thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather together as a body of believers, to stand in faith, to stand vocally, and to declare how great you are. we do not take this for granted. We thank you. We thank you that as we go and we leave this place, we are refreshed. We are filled by you. And we thank you, Lord, that you complete us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. God bless you. What a powerful word. I love it. God bless you. God bless you all who are watching online. We'll see you again next Sunday. Be ready. Amen.